This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
We're going to speak to a filmmaker called Matt Williams, who is making a film based in Melbourne, a fictionalised suburb of Melbourne. It's called Long Night in Pexington. I'm dying to know how that...
Pexington
is such a great name. So welcome, Matt.
Hello. Thank you very much.
Thanks for
having
coming
me.
In. Now, tell me, what stage of the film are you at the moment? So it's obviously written. Have you started shooting?
We have. We've actually very recently finished principal photography in the last few months. So it's we're actually well into post-production at the moment. So it's all refining now and putting the polish on it.
Now, my background is in queer film. I was the festival director there for 17 years. So I'm going to ask
148
all the really boring questions, like, how are you funding it?
Okay. Well, look, what we did was in pre-production, we had a very brief crowdfunding campaign, which we managed to raise a little bit, a modicum of what we were after, but we basically, the rest of it was sort of self-funded and whatever we could scrounge up, and we had to improvise a lot. So it was on a shoestring budget, basically.
I think I've got a suggestion for you. Maybe with the next, do another crowdfunding thing, but have a religious motif somewhere in it so that you can raise squillions of dollars in the defence of the poor religious.
Possibly, not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Maybe for the next one.
So we're talking feature film?
Yes, it's feature length, and it's a genre piece. So it's predominantly, it's science fiction to a great degree, but it is set in, it's a very realist sort of story. So basically, a little bit of background on it and myself, I've always been a massive science fiction nut. Comic books, things like that, pop culture, I love all that sort of thing. So, but I wanted to create a story, a genre type story that was extremely accessible and familiar, and particularly to people that are outsiders or feel as though they are othered in some way. And so I wanted to set it in a very familiar world, so I took our world and I just added this vein of the fantastical through it, so some popular comic book type tropes, people with abilities and differences, and I suppose one word might be mutations, things like that. There's different terminology for it in pop culture, and how everyday people would exist if such a world was real, how it would form in a very realist sort of sense.
So if I come up to you at the box office and I said I want to see your film, what's it about in, say, two sentences?
Okay, a fictionalised suburb in which a group of people, it's basically about there are people in society who are very, very different and have strange abilities, and they're othered because of it, and they're sort of ghettoed, and they're sort of created, they live as a sort of subculture within the greater culture.
So a science fiction theme?
Yes, very
much.
Does
that mean you've had to spend a lot of money on science fiction-y type, green screen, amazing CGI, or can you do that without doing that stuff?
No, we couldn't. We've had to do a great deal of it without. We've had to do as much in-camera as possible, which actually suits me because I've always loved in-camera effects. They're much more visceral, it's much more real. A lot of times CG can look very cartoonish, and particularly if you don't have the budget to do it exceptionally well, it just comes off looking bad. So it's better to avoid it altogether and go really old school and just use in-camera techniques and impressions and things like that. Make it very impressionistic and very, very jarring in other ways.
So tell us about the relevance to the LGBTIQ community.
Well, in many ways, the LGBTI community is represented through that. It's a metaphor in a lot of ways for many, many people within the community themselves who are othered by default for whatever, however they identify. It's people who don't fit a very stringent status quo and a very sort of time-honored status quo, how they survive in everyday life and also the relationships they form. Our protagonists are basically they're an urban family. They're outcasts even amongst their own family, and it's about the families you create, and they have sort of taken on their roles to each other, like the older brother, older sister type role, and they live in a sort of Pexington itself is a fictionalized sort of housing commission for people with extraordinary abilities, but it's considered they're not sexy abilities.
Sounds like Elwood.
How did you come up with the name Pexington?
Well, I wanted something that was something that just was unheard of. It just sort of raised questions. Like it wasn't reminiscent of anything, so that in creating it, it would sort of take on its own distinct definition. It's something that would stick in people's mind as, okay, I know exactly what that is. It doesn't sound like something too familiar or that. So I wanted something just very, very distinct and very a little bit austere as well. Pexington, it sounds a little bit like Old English in a way too, so...
True. Yeah. And it'd be called, if it was an actual suburb, it'd be Pexo or Pexy, something like that.
Exactly. It can be...
Well, see, there's the queer connection, Pex.
So what's the aim with the film? What would you like to see?
I would love to basically just... It's a character-based story and it explores ideas that are very... very pertinent to not just the LGBT community, but all communities in general, which is the families that you create and those very human relationships through everyday struggles and through being different. Everyone by default, of course, being different, and it's accepting each other's differences and how we navigate our lives, integrating that, being ourselves, but also being part of a greater society. We'd like to present as polished a final product for our audience as possible. Like it is not, it's not a spectacle-based production. We've gone very low-key, very low FX, but it is a character-based story. So there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of great character-driven moments throughout the story. A lot of revelations and that exploration of ideas of urban family and different forms of love that you form with people.
It sounds like quite a challenge for actors, given that it sounds like it's driven by the writing and the characters and that sort of thing. Meryl Streep said no, I'm assuming. How did you go casting the film?
Given that it is a character piece, I definitely wanted... I was looking for people with very specific emotive qualities, people that could conjure up, could project emotions with very, very well, with a minimalist sort of approach. Like you can see them thinking behind their eyes, and their responses are very naturalistic and very just very believable. I didn't want to see people acting. I just wanted to see them inhabit their character. So I actually picked the actors very, very carefully. They're great character actors, all of them. They're all local talent from Melbourne. Well, not originally necessarily all from Melbourne, but they're all based in Melbourne at the moment. And I knew, you could tell during the audition process pretty much straight away who would be perfect for the role. They just inhabited the character, or they didn't. You either believed it or you didn't. And so it was instinctual as much as aesthetic.
So what's the aim in terms of screening? Where would you like to be seen?
Oh, everywhere. Ideally, everywhere would be wonderful. But what we would like to do is I'd like to have post-production finished by, at the latest, early next year, which is a little bit ambitious because there's so many layers, as you know, with production. You have to, once you've got principal photography, you have to do music and you have to put colour grading, and there's all these different layers. But I would definitely like to have it ready for premiere by early next year.
Matt, I'm on the programming committee of the Melbourne International Film Festival, and you didn't bring any gifts in for me, so
I didn't.
That's going to be tough to get through that armed force.
I thought
gifts, you don't get on.
Oh well, I had no idea. I would have tried to think of something, a card at least, or
a credit card.
I take bribes.
I would have given it a shot.
With festivals, yes. But you'd like to get into commercial cinemas and, you know, the streaming services, that sort of thing.
Very much. I'd like to turn it into a series, actually. I kind of think this project as a flagship feature. We actually would love to develop it into potentially a series or some sequels as well, and create our own sort of universe, something that's pop culture, science fiction set in Australia, very familiar to Australians as well, but also accessible to an international audience too. I've found that there is a real hunger in the creative field here for genre-based pieces. We tend to, it might just be my impression, but I think sometimes we tend to shy away from it with our own cinema and things like that. We tend to go for, we tend to be a little bit insular sometimes, whereas, say, international markets tend to, they'll just go for it. It'll be like, okay, this is a sci-fi series, or this is a thriller series, or this is a, and they're not as hesitant with genre as we tend to be. And but also naturally our industry is a lot smaller populace wise and things like that too, but we have incredible talent and there's a real hunger for it as well, because it was the feedback when we were initially casting for it, just the interest level alone was overwhelming. I was shocked by how many people wanted to be on board with it too.
So where can people find out more about where you're at with it? Do you have a trailer for it yet?
We will have a trailer, hopefully not terribly long. It's in hand with our editor at the moment. Principal photography was only completed within a few months ago. But he's working hard on it already, a very talented guy called Nicholas Halls. I have total faith in him, so it'll probably be an awesome trailer. That should be up, within a few months' time. I would like it up, perhaps, you know, within about 2 to 3 months would be great.
And you're looking for help with funding still from public?
Yes, very much. We're on Indiegogo, Long Night in Pexington, post-production on Indiegogo. You'll be able to, basic Google search, you'll be able to find it. But we're also on Facebook too. So again, just Long Night in Pexington, the movie. It'll be there. We've posted up a lot of behind-the-scenes footage and some information on the actors themselves and things like that, and some interesting stuff for people to look at and get an idea of the kind of story that we're going to tell.
Is this your first film?
First feature-length film.
So you've got some shorts background?
Yes, definitely. There's never, at least in my experience and with some colleagues of mine, you're always sort of waiting for the perfect time to make a feature, when you have enough money or
when you've won Tap Lotto.
Exactly right, or everything aligns. But I sort of got to that point where I thought, you know, you get tired of waiting, so you just go out there and give it a try and do the best you can with what you have. So we had extremely little, but we're doing the best with what we have to tell a really good story as well as we can.
Well, it sounds like you've got your creative part done. Now is the business part. That's the marketing end.
Yes, that's right.
The tough end. A very different skill.
Yes.
So good luck with that.
Thank you.
It's amazing you've put a feature film down. People think it's very easy. It's not.
No.
As you well know.
No, not at all.
Writing one is challenging, but actually putting it onto screen is very difficult.
It's definitely laborious, but it's bittersweet because there's nothing as satisfying. So you're exhausted, but you're very happy at the
same
time.
Your next one, you should look to Macca because he's an accomplished actor. He has featured in a short film that I recall from many years ago.
Yes.
I wasn't aware. Do you have I didn't know, but if you have a card or something, I'd happily keep it on me. Oh, of course. Yes, here we go.
I think you're referring to a safe sex video.
A sexual health video,
yeah.
Yes, I learned more about you than I was prepared to.
That's right, yeah. Give it a kick. Give it a kick.
Well, Matt, thank you for coming in. Good luck with Long Night in Pexington. If any of the listeners want to get on board and have a look, just Google that title, I'm imagining. And yes. Good luck with the post-production and then the marketing and then the whole business side of it.
Thank you very much.
And then next time you see Lisa, give her a gift.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'll try and think of something nice in the meantime. Yeah.
I do like chocolate. I'm pretty easy to please.
Yeah, chocolate.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.